In other makif beniso, Chazal say, a person does not recognize when he's part of a miracle. You think about that. People do not recognize miracles which they themselves are living. Such a truism. It's so true. Ain other makif beniso, and you know, you're sitting here literally a stone's throw from the Kotel, from Harabais. You guys should be singing and dancing literally the whole day. The Jews, our grandparents, probably your grands too, certainly my grandparents, great-grandparents, couldn't get here ever. There were Turks and English, you name it, Arabs. And here we're literally across the street, down the block, in the holiest spot in the world. And we're sitting and learning Torah, which is God's gift to the world and to Am Yisrael. It's such a tremendous privilege that Hashem gives us to be able to participate and to be part of such a monumental event. So we bring this consciousness into our mind that we should recognize that we are living a miracle. We are living a miracle. We're reading in the Sedras this week of the miracles which took place in Mitzrayim. It's something very remarkable. We say a person doesn't recognize he's part of a miracle. So, Paro, when you read these parashos, especially this week's parasha, how in the world could the man Paro be such a madman to deny the hand of Hashem time after time? The water turns to blood, the frogs, lice, Barad, everything keeps on saying no. It's just unbelievable the ego of a human being, how people can get so into themselves that they blind themselves to open miracles. And he comes up as I'm sure because he had the magicians, and there was a culture of sorcery and magic, so they told him that Moshe, he's like a super magician, he can do these things. But people will convince themselves in order to live their falsehoods. In order to live their falsehoods, they will deny the facts on the ground, like the Arabs. Hope you don't mind if I say Muslim extremist Yimach Shema. Okay, I'm saying about the extremists, not the Arabs in general, to be politically correct, but the crazy fanatics Yimach Shema. They deny the reality that there are 6,300,000 plus and growing every day in the Hadassah hospital and maternity wards. Jews here. They deny it. They say, no, it's only a mirage. The Jews are going to disappear. Meanwhile, Baruch Hashem, Am Yisrael, Chai V'Kayim. But I'm always wondering, how can it be that people can deny a miracle? A miracle. You deny it. Because of the ego, that people have ego. They think I control. It's my world. I decide what this world is. We see it in the stories of Paro. We see it today with all this fanatic craziness of these guys. And we see it all over. So we who, Baruch Hashem, this generation today, are living a miracle. It's important for us to say every day, Baruch Hashem, God, I thank you for making me live this, for making me, giving me the privilege of being in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. Literally, you guys are in the Yer HaKodesh, you're in the walls of the city. So, it's a big schus. It's a big schus for you guys to be here. It's a big schus for me to come and spend a little time with you. Now, I wanted to talk about, you're learning Gittin, and at the beginning, there in the Masechta, there's a discussion of the borders of Eretz Yisrael, Akko and Ashkelon. It's a shock. That Mishnah is a shock. Why? When you read that Mishnah, you get shocked. Why do you get shocked? It's astonishing. Why? Because Eretz Yisrael is much bigger than what this Mishnah says. Eretz Yisrael, we have it today way much more north, much more south. And when you read the Psukim and the Chumash with the borders, you see it's much more like we have it, maybe a little bit bigger than the Mishnah. The Mishnah is tiny. I mean, from Akko down to Ashkelon, it's like half the distance of today's Israel, right? What are you talking about? That this is Eretz Yisrael, Ashkelon, Akko. I mean, Eretz Yisrael goes down into Gaza. It's Pesukim in the Sefer Yeshua, that Yeshua ben Nun and the Jews conquered Gaza. Gaza is Israel. Gaza. And then north, you go way up, you go up to Lebanon, is Israel. Half of Lebanon. What's he saying? Akko is below Haifa. When I read that Mishnah, I do not understand what this Mishnah is all about. How the Mishnah comes up with these lower. So what do you guys think about it? What do you think? Why to do that, the Mishnah? Any idea? Right. What's your name?
Daniel.
Good, Daniel. Because of the Takan of Lishma. So the Takan of Lishma. The whole thing is, of course, the people. So where the people lived is where you have the Bate Dinim, and then they know what they're doing with the get. But if it's some village, who knows where, outside someplace where the main Jews don't live, so they would not know Lishma. So let's say you hold like rubber, there's nothing to do with it. Rabba says Lishma, why hold like Rava? Because of Kim. How are you going to explain according to Rava?
Less travel.
Right. You'll have people traveling from those very northern spots or very southern spots. So it depends really. So in other words, like this Mishnah, what you're saying, good, Daniel, you're saying that this Mishnah is not telling us borders of Israel, really, because the borders are much bigger. What's this Mishnah talking about? Where people live, and the takana of the get with this shliach, with the b'fonai nechtav, depends on basically the main concentration of the Jewish population at the time that they made the takana, which was, I guess, I'm not sure, does anybody know when they made the takana of b'fonai nechtav? When did it pop up? Obviously it wasn't there by its rishon, because by its rishon you wouldn't have these people lived all over, they had 12 shvatim. It had to be when? Sometime in Bayez when? Bayez Sheni. And so, I mean, if somebody knows a little bit about Tanakh and Jewish history, Bayez Sheni. So, when would you probably get these borders of where people live in Bayez Sheni? When? Was it there at the beginning when Ezra and Nehemiah built the base of Mikdash? Up top. Down to Ashkelon, up to Akko? No. Right. What was then by Ezra and Nehemiah? Where did they live? They lived mamish just around Yerushalayim. That was it. So when did it get up to this spot?
After the Chashmonaim. After that.
By Chashmonaim, what's that? Probably around the time of the Chashmonaim. Hordas was much bigger. Hordas went up much more. So by the Chashmonaim, at some point, this would be when this was, So sort of by looking at these towns, Akko, Ashkelon, and if you read Jewish history books and you date it, so it means that they made a takon of a Fonai Nechtav around that time, around the time of Chashmonaim, and that's where the Jews lived. Now, that would be the way to read this Mishnah. This Mishnah has nothing to do with really the shame Eretz Yisrael, what is Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. It's a separate Mishnah, a special takana made at a certain time for Gittin from Medina Sayyam, and because at that particular time, and that Sanhedrin HaGadol decided to make this takana, so this is where Jews basically live. So they put where the main Jews live. That's fine. We don't have to worry about the Gittin in this area. And the Gittin from outside have to be taken care of. Now just, there's another curious question. Why would you think that at that particular point in time, all of a sudden, the Chachamim, the Sanhedrin, the sages, all of a sudden got worked up about this problem of Gittin?
Assimilation.
Huh?
Assimilation.
Okay, good. That's a good point. It was a time of assimilation because of the Greeks, and there were a lot of Jews, and probably those Jews were keeping quasi-halacha, and they were probably doing some form of Kedushin and Gittin, the assimilated Jews, and they were not reliable on what they did, so therefore you got work with the Sanhedrin and Yisrael Shalayim, time of Chashmonaim, as you said, said, you know, we got to take care of this, we got to worry about this. It's very interesting, because it's very parallel. Huh? Good, good. So if it's because of that, so what? Right, so what do you want to say?
No, just also around that time there were Jews started living foot clerics in big amounts like Alexandria, like Babel, all these places.
Right, that's also an excellent point. There were a bunch of Jews living further away and they didn't have the Sanhedrin influence. Now the Jews in the center of there where they lived, they were under the Sanhedrin control. Now obviously we know that, for example, say a Jew lived, Beit Shemesh, during the Second Temple, Chashmonaim era. How would we be sure that the guy in Beit Shemesh, that his get is going to be a good get? The Sanhedrin sitting in Jerusalem. How do I know that in Beit Shemesh they're going to be doing a good get, that the Mishnah is so confident? What?
So for the Dinim.
But they deem them, right, because there's a mitzvah to set up in every Jewish village a Sanhedrin in Katana. So the Sanhedrin of Gadol in Jerusalem would make sure that Beit Shemesh has a Sanhedrin of 23, whatever, Tel Aviv of the time, whatever it was called, the Afo, has to have a Sanhedrin. So there's a system of control that makes any get coming within this area where people live is under Sanhedrin of Gadol, and every village. Now, you know, what's very interesting is what size population gets a Sanhedrin Katan, a small Sanhedrin? How many Jews have to live in a village to set up a Sanhedrin Katan? 23 judges. How many? 120, right? Very small. If 120 Jews live in a village, they have to set up a Sanhedrin. It was great, you know, it was great to be a Talmid Chacham in those years, because you always got a job. Not like nowadays. We don't have huge jobs for Talmid Chachamim. But in those years, you learn and you got smicha, and then you got a job because you go to a village, even 120 Jews needs a Sanhedrin of 23. That's amazing. The level of scholarship which they had in those years. So they were under control, but the people living, as you said, Alexandria, other places, what's going on there? So that's why they weren't reliable. That's correct. All of this is what I would call pashut pshat, with a little thinking, knowing a little bit Jewish history, and figuring out what's going on. However, who disagrees with this pshat? Which great posek said that this pshat is wrong. No one else, no one less than the Rambam. The Rambam disagreed with this pshat. Why? Because in the Rambam, when he discusses in Hilchos Chumos, we have to give the mitzvah Satluyos Ba'aretz, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, he says that Vayesheni, Second Temple, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, which is created by Sanhedrin, was Dafka according to the borders of this Mishnah. It's unbelievable that this Mishnah is telling us the Gevulos of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael and Vayesheni. In other words, in Vayesheni, if you lived south of Akko and you had a farm, you grew their fruits, vegetables, you had to give Tumah and Maaser. That's in Sheni. If you live north of Akko and by Sheni, you were Putter. If you live north of Ashkelon and you grew some fruits there, you gave Tumah and Maaser according to the Torah, because it has Kedusha of Israel. If you live south of Ashkelon, it doesn't have Kedusha of Israel. That's incredible. So the Rambam learns that this Mishnah is not like we said, or you guys said, it's a practical problem of where the Jews live and where they get the right education, where they're under control, not under control, etc. This Mishnah has huge ramifications. It's not just a one Mishnah talking about what? This special halacha of the get. Yes. But it's much more than that. It tells you where Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is. That is amazing. That's how he brings it down, Rambam. When you read that Rambam, I recommend it, you know, when we finish this, look up the Rambam. When you see that Rambam, you get shocked. I get shocked. So why in the world would the Rambam take a takan of Gittin, which has to do with the Shema and Eidim Mitzuyim and Lekaimo, people traveling, people knowing the dinim of a get, and transfer it to everything about Eretz Yisrael, all the Truma and Maaser and all the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael have these borders. But the Rambam did that. So that's a big deal. That according to the Rambam, these borders are real for Kedushas Eretz Yisrael and Bayis Sheni. Now, we get back and have to do a whole rethink of the whole story now. According to the Rambam, that this has to do with the Kedusha of Israel. So, but what kind of questions come up? I mean, if it has to do with the Kedusha of Israel, so what would be like the first question about that?
About Bagel is not, doesn't have any Kedusha of Israel, even though they have the Shema and hidden Sunday Hybrid.
Okay, that's a very good question. That this Bavel might get the dinim of Israel for this takana, because they have the Shema and the Kaimo, but meanwhile there's no Kedusha of Eretz Israel in Bavel. That's an excellent question. What's your name?
David.
On the button, really. Good. That's one good question. What's another question? Yeah.
How could you say Blazing Kedusha is Eretz Israel, because you're taking it, that's going on the land, not the people living in where they live.
Exactly. That's like a basic question. Very good question. The Takana is all about but people living and people behaving and people knowing, and you're flipping it into a Kedushas Eretz Yisrael Takana. It's nothing to do with growing fruits in Eretz Yisrael, giving tumas and maaseres. How is the Rambam reads this Mishnah as a Kedushas Eretz Yisrael thing? So that is a real fundamental question. Why would you take something which has to do with how people know the Shema, they don't know the Shema, people are traveling, the Edom are there for Kim, a get issue, and say it's really a Kedushas Eretz Yisrael issue? All right, so we have two really very good questions. One is like a, yeah. Well, yeah.
How come the Dinam is the Eretz
Yisrael? It's also a good question. Okay, so we have to deal with this. So first let's answer the two questions from Bavel and the Medina Eretz Yisrael. We have to say, according to the Rambam, we're going to have to say that there are two levels to this takana. One is the practical question. Do they know Lishma? Do people travel? That has nothing to do with Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. That's a practical thing. So Bavel is a discussion, and Medina LeMedina Eretz Yisrael is a discussion. Because that's the fact. There is a practical takana, according to him also. Do people know? Not know. Do know. Do travel? Don't travel. It has nothing to do with Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Then there's another, apparently a basic part of the takana had to do with Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. That if there's Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, you say the shliach is okay, and I'm not even going to necessarily check too much about do they not know, yes, no, it's Eretz Yisrael. And after Eretz Yisrael, we worry about it. So there's a Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. And then you wonder why. So that's what we have to say. We have to say that according to the Rambam, there is a Kedushas Eretz Yisrael dimension, and there's a practical dimension. Okay. Now, your question was, why would the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael become a factor, or this is a difficult question, but as I said, the Rambam is very, very, very surprising why he brings Kedushas Eretz Yisrael into this. So apparently, they wanted to. It looks like this. According to the Rambam, it looks like that the Chacham. Who said that? Who said about Alexandria? You, somebody over there. They didn't like the fact that the Jews were living in Alexandria and Chutz La'aretz. And here they're making a takana about the get. And the basic thing is that the Jews in Eretz Yisrael living near and around the Sanhedrin and in the Jewish center of Bayis Sheni, and it's Chashmonoim, like he said. It's good. We just kicked out the Greeks. We just won. We have a base of Migdash. So where do we want people to live? We want people to live in Egypt. We want people to live in Yorkettsville. You want people to live in America when you can live in Israel? And you can live in Yerushalayim? You want people sitting out there? No. So that's why they threw into this takana a thing that if it's Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, you know what? You're much better off with the get. We're already going to give it like a pass. And if you're in Chutz La'aretz, we're gonna put down the law. Prove it. Prove that you come from America. Prove that you know what you're doing. You come from Israel. I assume you know what you're doing. They decided to do that because they wanted to emphasize for the Jews in those years Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Not just, okay, a guy says, I don't have to sit in Israel and tough it out. I can be in America. It's easy. Relative. So you say, okay, prove you know something. Let's give you a bechina. You're in America, what do you know? Meanwhile, this other guy says, I'm in Israel, I live here. Oh, you're good. You know what you're doing. We give you a pass. That was apparently part of this takana, was to emphasize that we want the Jews to live in Eretz Yisrael. We want to get them here. We want to show that Eretz Yisrael is special. That's why they created Gevulos of Chiddush. They went with the Gevulos of Kedushas Haaretz. Now again, the problem is, at what point in time was this considered to be the maximum of Kedusha for Bayis Sheni? It looks like that the Chashmonoim, they expanded it to this, and that this Sanhedrin of Chashmonoim, that Besdin, they said this is Kedushas Haaretz as well, we're doing it. And then past that, Hordas came along, and Hordas was not really Jewish. And he was very much under the Romans. So when the Romans basically came in, then they said, we're not making any more Kedushas Ha'aretz, we're not expanding. And Hordas had, he used the Romans, he had a nice army, and he got the land big. He banned big. But we say, no, we're not going to, the Sanhedrin didn't want to give him Kedusha. They say, we can't. It's the wrong kind of guy here, this Hordas guy. We can't. There are too many Romans here. We can't. So they just kept the Kedusha of the Chashman on it. That's what it looks like. But anyway, what I want to bring out is like this, that you guys learning in this, you learn this Mishnah, and you see how important it is, the Kedusha of Israel. And you should be makir the nes, that you are part of the holiest of the holiest of the part of Israel, that you're living in the old city, in the Kedusha. Now I know, I remember when I used to come in the summertime here with groups of boys, spend time in Shiloh. I remember one summer, a few summers, during the summer we'd go to Yeshivat HaKotel for about a week, sit in the Yeshivat HaKotel. Rabbi Bina was there then. I don't know how to mention that. It's okay. It's okay. It's friendly competition across the street. It's okay. So we spent a week in Yeshivat HaKotel. So I remember that I had the following experience. It bothered me very much. I had the experience first day, second day, third day in the old city. Wow. By the time the sixth day came along, I said, big deal, it's nothing. Lose the experience. So I give you guys a bracha that you should keep, you know, maybe every so often leave Jerusalem, go someplace, I don't know, Shiloh, Hermon, spend a few days someplace, and then you come back and you get inspired again, you know, by being in this location. Very important to have that inspiration, very important to feel the miracle. And it's interesting that you're learning that this Masechta, which at the beginning, according to the Rambam, is emphasizing how important it is to live here, to be. And I hope that everybody will have the bracha of being matzliach in your learning and in your kedusha, and that you actually will actually wind up living here. That's what I give everybody the bracha.